Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Good morning, everybody. Championship Sunday. Doesn't get any better than this. It was really tough getting in today. If you're driving anywhere north of Washington, D.C. today, early in the morning, there is ice on the road. And I don't think anybody was out late last night with their trucks putting chemicals down trying to make sure everything was okay, because I saw two accidents right before I got to the studio. And it's very rare when you see Bruce Hall drive a car under the speed of about 45 miles an hour, even in 35-mile-an-hour zones. But I was driving more like 20 after I saw somebody do about a 720 right in front of me. This is Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. It's a huge, huge day in the NFL today. So huge that, you know, all the talking heads are out in the media right now telling everybody exactly what they have no clue what's going to go on today. Last week, the only thing I can say about what happened last week is everything was perfect until Peyton Manning took the field against Indianapolis. And if you're not an Indianapolis fan, or you're not an Andrew Luck fan, and you're not an NFL fan, none of this means anything to you. But I would say that John Fox, the former head coach of the Denver Broncos, who, by the way, in his 4 years in Denver, has the highest winning percentage in the history of the NFL football, he gets fired Monday after Sunday's game. And I got to tell you something.
Is that the Lovie Smith Award for excellence in postseason play?
Lovie was only 10-6. He was 12-4 this year. Last year he was 14-2. I mean, you know, when an owner slash general manager slash vice president of operations like John Elway, who enjoys talking to the media and enjoys being the number one guy. He kind of was like that when he played. He was a little more shy when he was younger. But, you know, make no mistake about it, John Elway runs the Denver Broncos, and evidently there must have been a lot of things leading up to that. And some of it was how he handled Peyton Manning. I think how John Fox handled him. They lost their defensive coordinator too, by the way. Jack Del Rio is now the head coach of the Oakland Raiders. Matt's looking at me. This is all new news for Matt.
Yeah,
because Matt's a great producer and he's a phenomenal writer and he's the perfect guy for me. But he doesn't pick the paper up every day and go on Twitter. He actually is trying to put food on his kids' plates during the week.
The problem is this time of year it's CES, so I have to pay full attention to all the technology goings on, so I don't get to pay attention to
football. Yeah, we should be getting a call here from an Arizona area code. Haven't gotten it yet?
Mm-mm.
Well, we get Jess Root's supposed to call in at 10:05. And it's 10:08 already, so something's probably going on with Jess. He gets to go to church a little bit late today, which is good. But we're going to have Jess Root come on, and we're going to talk about all the neat things that happened out in Arizona with a team that was marginal, to say the least. I mean, they had the best coach, in the NFL this year, in Bruce Arians, who did a phenomenal job a couple years ago in Indianapolis when he took him to the playoffs, when a lot of people didn't expect him to, and Andrew Luck's first thing. Nobody's on the phone yet. Oh, your hand signals are getting to me. I'm sitting here looking at the lines today, and of course the lines mean everything. And if you're in Vegas, you're making me mad, because I wish I was in Vegas right now. I would love to be saving a half of a point somewhere. MGM runs so many casinos in Vegas now. generally speaking, they always have pretty tough lines. We got Jess Root on the phone now. I knew we'd get you, Jess. Jess, how are you, buddy?
Doing all right. How about yourself, Bruce?
Listen, I really appreciate you coming on. This is neat because I love having you live, but Jess is a real family guy and got a bunch of kids and does all kinds of things out in his neighborhood in the Phoenix area. And we generally have to record Jess beforehand. And I prefer live because I actually feel better when I'm not recording. When I'm recording, I mean, it's, you know it's not live, so you don't, at least with me, I don't pay as much attention. But listen, thanks for coming on. First of all, let's celebrate Bruce Arians. He's won two awards from two different places already for NFL Coach of the Year. Tell us about Bruce briefly and why you think why is he so successful?
Well, the first thing is he's been around the league a long time, so he already comes with a kind of a cachet of respect from his players. And then two, he communicates extremely well with his players. With the media, he's a great quote, but he's not super upfront with them all the time. He is super upfront with his players. It's one of the special things about him. He doesn't give them coach talk. He'll tell you if your football sucks, but then he'll like you as a kid. And there was a quote about it during the preseason that gets nuts. No, it's nothing personal, just your football stinks. So he communicates very well, so players always know where they stand with him.
I got Jess Root, Revenge of the Birds, one of the top beat writers, I think, that I even talk to across the nation. He's kind of he's a little bit of a secret, but you're getting out there a lot. Your blog is huge, Revenge of the Birds. Let me ask you this. The defense carried the cards all year. I mean, they kept you in games. At one time, you guys were literally not only playing the great defense, but you were scoring some points too. And then you have your starting quarterback go down. Your backup was in there earlier. Then the starter comes back and he actually does better. Carson Palmer. I've always been a Carson Palmer fan. He seems to be getting better with age. I just hope they can fix this knee. He's probably going to end up wearing a brace probably for the rest of his career at his age, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would guess so. And luckily, this knee injury wasn't nearly as severe as the first. It was the same knee.
Yeah.
But it was a clean tear. He's right on track. He's expecting to be able to participate fully come OTAs in the offseason.
Yeah, I was looking at some film this morning, watching an NFL matchup on ESPN, and I always plug those guys because I love Hodge. I don't know if you watch that show. I bet you do. But I love Merrill Hodge. I love Ron Jaworski. And Sal Palantonio has grown on me. Ever since he wrote that book, I don't know if you ever got a chance to read Palantonio's book. It was a horrible book. But ever since he did that, he's basically kind of sucked it up and lost a lot of his ego. And now he's just a really good reporter, and he's a good host too. Let's talk about the games today. You've seen these teams, Green Bay and Seattle. I mean, you're in the West. You play Seattle twice a year. They're for real. And right now, correct me if I'm wrong, but they seem to be just firing on all cylinders right now. They're hotter now, I think, than they've been all season long. What do you think, Jess?
That I think that is in part by design. They're a team that's already won. They've already had success. I mean, they won the Super Bowl. And as we see with a lot of championship teams, they tend to struggle out the gate. Some of them struggle out the gates because they're still riding their championship high. Their off season was shorter or their workouts were shorter. But on top of that, they had some injuries.
Yeah.
But they got healthy. And once, essentially, it happened defensively when Bobby Wagner came back. That defense took on a completely new level of dominance. And they had injuries, and they had injuries in the secondary. But when Bobby Wagner came back, it really changed things and made them that lockdown, historically type good defense. However, their schedule also helped. Down so that the last 9 weeks of the season, they didn't face. I mean, the best quarterback they faced was Eli Manning. They had Alex Smith, they had Sean Hill, they had Ryan Lindley and Drew Stanton. They did not face elite quarterbacks in the least.
No, that's true.
And that's what they did early on. They were facing good quarterbacks and they were playing a little bit better than 500. So it'll be interesting to watch this game because Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback they've seen in, what, 3 months.
Yeah, and the thing about Aaron Rodgers, in my opinion, Jess, because I'm one of those guys that thinks he is the best quarterback in the NFL. I mean, he's the best athlete for sure. To me, he seems to have the quickest release. He's really, really, you know, he leads the all NFL quarterbacks in touchdown passes outside the pocket. I think he's got 24 or 27 of them. You know, because what he'll do is he'll just buy just enough time, a little bit like Russell Wilson, where he lets it go, only he's got a more accurate arm and probably a little better arm than Russell Wilson, too. Now, he doesn't run like Russell anymore, but certainly when he's healthy, you know, nobody slides better than Aaron Rodgers, in my opinion. I mean, the guy knows just how far to go. He sets it down. He hands the ball. I mean, if he was healthy, I would love them. But I think if he was healthy, the line would be 3.5, 4 points. Right now, it's 8. With the point spread, which way would you go? If you were, I know you're not a gambling man, Mr. Root. I know you're not. But if you were, which way would you go?
I like Green Bay to cover. I have for my personal picks a Green Bay upset. I think that's possible. But I definitely like Green Bay to cover because their offense, and with Eddie Lacy being healthy, Dallas is able to move the ball against Seattle. Heck, Carolina outgained Seattle. They just made the key for the teams playing them. You can move the ball against Seattle, but you can't turn the ball over, and you can't give up big plays on the other side of the ball. Green Bay's defense is a little bit better. They have a better, much better run game than they did earlier in the season. So I expect this will be a close game, especially when you have a super elite quarterback in Aaron Rodgers and a quarterback that many believe is on the cusp of eliteness in Russell Wilson. It's going to be a nip and tuck battle down to the end.
You know what? I totally agree with you. And the 8 points is scaring me to death. I think if Seattle is a play, they're a very small play. This is why this is Championship Sunday. Jess, listen, I can't thank you enough for coming on and letting me know how you feel about these things. Congratulations, by the way, to the Cardinals who played phenomenal. They just ran out of quarterbacks, Jess. That's all it was.
They did.
I mean, that was basically the difference. Plus, you guys are going to get a good running back. Jess Root, people, Revenge of the Birds, one of the greatest NFL bloggers out there going. Read Revenge of the Birds if you've never read it. Jess, thank you so much for calling in today, buddy.
All right, thanks, Bruce.
Good luck to you. Jess Root, for the first time in generations, the dream of homeownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute with more of Second Opinion.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Well, it's going to get nothing but better today. You know, by the time the show is over, it's going to be the afternoon. And the first game starts somewhere around the, I think it's
3:05.
Is it 3:05? Yeah. And then the next game probably won't get started until about 8 or so, right around 8 o'clock. It doesn't get any better than this. And it's going to be a great game, great day of a couple of games. You know, everything is so tight. You know, Vegas gets it right. You know, make no mistakes about it. The lines makers always get it right. Not always perfectly, but they get it right when it comes to balancing the plays. And we'll talk about that a little bit.
When there's only two bets that they have to
regulate. Yeah, I mean, exactly.
You'd think that they would get those two right on the money.
Yeah, if you go to VegasInsider.com, you can pull up kind of what I look at during the day. I like that website, and the reason I like that website is because they update it pretty much every 5 or 10 minutes. If you click on NFL, then you click on matchups, you can see where most of the money's going. Now, if you're in Vegas or you're not in Vegas, you're going to know what the line of this game is before the drop of the the kickoff. If you look at this right now, it's split 50-50 perfectly between Seattle and Green Bay on the spread bets. Mm-hmm. That tells you that number is perfect. It's both numbers, really. It was minus 7 most of the week, went to 7.5 probably Wednesday, late Wednesday, and now it's 8. That tells you that what that tells me is that half of the money is on Seattle and half the money is on Green Bay in number of bets. But then you'll say, well, why is it minus 8? Then why is it still minus 7? Well, to get it to 50-50, they had to take it to minus 8. Mm-hmm. They got to give you a reason. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to give away my picks yet. And I'll be perfectly honest with you, since, you know, the people listening to me are my loyal listeners of my show. I'm only about 85% sold on one of these games already. I haven't actually made up my mind. I'll make it up before... You know, let me see. I got somebody calling in at 11:05. I'll probably let everybody know. Oh, I don't know.
Last segment.
Yeah, 11:30 to 11:45. Just depends on who I get calling in. I'm very lucky. I'm blessed. I get to go on radio in a really good market in New York on Sundays and share my thoughts with a lot of loyal listeners. But you know, when the show is over, you can always listen to my show. Go to brucehallsports.com and you can listen to the show. You can listen to archive shows from as far back as, what would you say, Matt, almost a year?
No, and every single show you've ever done is on that website.
Is that right? Yeah. Well, Matt would
know. You don't even know.
No, I don't. The only time I ever, like when I try to put together a 4-minute disc or something, I have a tendency to go back. And then it's amazing. I'll forget 2 or 3 people I've had on the show that were a lot of fun. And this being, you know, January is really the end of the fiscal year, you know, when you're in the radio business. Not really the 31st of December. It's pretty much through the NFL playoffs, especially in the sports business. But Seattle -8. Last week, as you know, Seattle started out 10.5, went to 11, went to 12. They were 13.5 at kickoff. What did they win by, everybody? 14. Hello. Think Vegas is any good? They're pretty good. And as you remember, I was on Seattle minus the points. What killed me last weekend was the Denver Broncos mailed it in. For all of you out there that couldn't watch that game for 2 reasons. Number one, it made me sick to watch a defense not try. It made me sick to watch receivers kind of give up on balls because Peyton wasn't right on target with the throws. Peyton was 50% in that game. If you watched that game and you've watched this, you know, elite young man, you know, do the things he's done for as many years as he's been in the league, it was sad to watch. And I tweeted out, I was the first one probably to tweet out, he's done. He is done. He's got to be done. Look, if I'm his family, if I'm a member of his family, and his kids are old enough, some of them, to talk to him and make sense to him, and his wife better be, I don't really care if you play another year in the NFL. You're going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. You are one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. You've set all the records. You know, you've broken all the records. Hey, retire. Take it easy. Buy a football team. Do the people in the Washington, D.C. area a favor and buy the Washington Redskins. I mean, put a group together, you know.
Can they hostile takeover, like, not in terms not of like buying up stock, no, I mean actually be hostile and raid the office
you
and
can't
say,
because it's
I
not a regular it's not a regular corporation. That's the problem. You know, I mean, if it was,
I'm talking about an actual infiltration with military units. Just go in there, take the
it's
office.
It's almost what it would take, only you probably wouldn't have a punch thrown because everybody that works for this guy is just like him. They're just
He's in there.
Yeah, they're just a bunch of big peas. If you know what that is. No, I just retired. But anyway, I was watching that game this past week, and I just couldn't watch it. And you know what? I knew they weren't gonna win in the second quarter. I don't know about anybody else, but there was no way they were gonna win that ball game. And Andrew Luck was on a mission. He looked great in that game, and I'll tell you what, he wore down the Denver defense, not only with his passes, but with their little bit of the running game that they used. I mean, Matt, you know, Heron's a good running back. He's going to get his 50, 60, 70 yards today. They're going to have to, you know, everybody's talking about Andrew Luck. Listen, for the Colts to have a chance in this game against a pretty well-balanced defense that has a good idea what they're going to do, I mean, Bill Belichick coaches their defense, it's going to end up being the running game that saves Indianapolis, not the passing game. Look, they're going to take away... You know, they've got Darrell Revis. They can take T.Y. Hilton away. They can at least take his touchdowns away. They may even give Revis some help. The way that the Colts are going to win the game, if they win the game, for you Colt fans, and you, and look, it's really easy to find New England Patriot haters. I may be slightly one of them because I'm a big Spygate the Untold Story guy. Because I believe all that because it's true. And the league didn't do anything to really keep them from doing it again. And to this day, I'm not ever 100% convinced, Matt, that, and I'm saying Matt because, you know, I want to let you know, I'm saying what I always say. I'm not convinced they don't cheat still. I mean,
the drinking game.
Yeah, why should I be convinced they don't cheat when they did such a good job of doing it for so long? Oh, and by the way, when they were cheating, they won three Super Bowls in 4 years. Now, maybe they're paying back the NFL, other teams in society by, you know, losing occasionally at home. Remember when I told you they were going to lose the last home game of the season because they were 7-0 at home and they can't really go 8-0 at home? It just brings everybody back to the Spygate deal where their home their home record is so ridiculously swayed compared to every other home record in the NFL that it can't be possible that they're not cheating. But anyway, I'm going to get off of that.
So just to go back to Indianapolis right now.
Yeah.
So in this past game, I think most people see Andrew Luck as that's the team is Andrew Luck. But you brought up Doug Heron. They actually had a pretty balanced attack with it was 27 passes, 25 runs.
Well, you know,
that's pretty balanced for a pass-heavy team.
It was easy for them to do because they dominated the play. They had the ball 36 minutes of the game. When does Peyton Manning ever not go three and out? I think they had 12 three and outs. I mean, you know, three plays and they're done. They were third and long all the time, Denver. He was done. Peyton Manning was done early in that game. And by the way, John Fox gets fired the next day. I mean, you know, somebody sent out the tweet. I can't remember who it was earlier in the week. Oh, Sean Salisbury sends out a tweet. We may have Sean on later because we're kind of tweeting back and forth. I'm hoping Sean's going to be on. I hope he's listening, but he's probably on somebody else's show right now. But Sean tweeted out, goes, hey, you know, I heard that if Denver loses, Fox is gone Monday. And he was about half serious because he knows some people. He was gone Monday. I was listening to him interviewed yesterday. He said, look, you know, this is the way the NFL is, not for long. You know, if you don't do what the owners want you to do, if you've got any kind of a problem, well, you know what it was? They gave Fox 4 years, Matt, and he didn't win a Super Bowl. Now, he took them there last year, and you'd think, you know, he's going to be okay, right? It's in New York. It's his brother's place, blah, 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 and they get whacked. By Seattle, mm-hmm. by Russell Wilson, who's a third-round pick, beats Peyton Manning up, and it wasn't close. They won by over 30 points. It was scary to watch. Indianapolis, New England. I'm going to give you the line right now. Then we're going to be back. We're going to take a break here. Right now, New England is a 6.5 point favorite. For a lot of people, that's good. They're getting 57% of the money on the spread bet on them. So, you know, Indianapolis is definitely a value there. It's 6.5 plus 6.5. And I could definitely see Indianapolis covering this spread, especially with the back door, because New England, they do play games, in my opinion, with the spread. I don't mean, you know, for personal reasons. Yeah, right. But we got somebody on the phone here real quick. I'm probably going to have to put him on hold. I bet it's Russell Baxter. Hey, Russ, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Bruce, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Can we break real quick, and we'll be back in a minute and a half with you?
Sure.
Yeah, we got the pro football guru on, and we're going to go over some stuff and have a blast here in the next 15 minutes. We'll be back in a minute with Second Opinion.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We got Russ Baxter on the line. Russell, thanks for holding for us. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Doing great, Russ, but I'm going to be doing a lot better after I get you pumping me up here in the next segment. Talk to me a little bit about these two games today. What is it that people have got to be looking for? Let's start with the Seahawks and the Packers. There's so many different things going on here. Let's talk about what you see as the most important factors in this game.
Well, you know, when Seattle has lost this year, it's not been that they turned over the football. I mean, they turned over the ball 14 times all year. But you can keep them on the sidelines. They're not a prolific, explosive offense. They make big plays, but they're not what you would call a very flowing offense. They're very sporadic. And if you can cut down their possessions to 8 or 9 a game opposed to 12 or 13 a game, it gives them less opportunity and less room for error. So I've said all week, if Eddie Lacy runs 20 times for 132 yards, I don't think the Packers win. But if Eddie Lacy runs 32 times for 115 yards, I think Green Bay wins.
So with you, it's all about time of possession. Well, you know, that makes sense because
not time of possession. One of the most overrated stat in the league is time of possession.
Okay.
The only it's about carries. It's about running the football. Okay, it's the carries. Time of possession really doesn't tell you all that much. I'm not saying it can't, but people get way too caught up. It's the same thing with turnover differential. It's not about turnover differential. It's about turnovers. The fewest turnovers in the league. Look at the list. Those are the playoff teams. You can turn over the ball. You can be plus 10 in turnover differential, Bruce, by 40 turnovers and turning over the ball 30 times. Now, who the hell wants to turn over the ball 30 times?
That's for sure. Well, Green Bay, for the most part, they always do a pretty good job, at least with this offense with Aaron Rodgers at the helm, has done a pretty good job with turnovers anyway. Seattle similarly does the same thing. Green Bay, let me tell you, if Rodgers has if he's going to stay in the pocket today, they better run the ball 30 times, you know what I mean? And they better be able to run the ball 30 times because I really don't see them doing much. I mean, unless maybe if you see something, let me know. But I don't see them doing that much through the air, if not maybe to their tight ends. I just don't see that secondary of Seattle giving up a whole lot of big plays, if any, to Green Bay. What do you think?
Well, they could give up big plays. It all depends on the persistency of the running game and ability to play action. It's not to say they can't fool the Seattle secondary. It's right. Not like teams haven't thrown them. Now, tight ends have been a killer for Seattle all year, majority of the touchdown passes they've allowed. And if Byron Maxwell comes back, I mean, they'll be in a lot better shape than they were last week when he wasn't around for most of the game. So you can't. Now, also throwing the ball to Eddie Lacy, Bruce, is a distinct possibility. One of the hidden stats is the fact that Eddie Lacy had 4 touchdown receptions this year. And it wasn't 4 catches for 4 yards and 4 touchdowns. Eddie Lacy turned some short dink-and-dunk throws into long plays. Marshawn Lynch is the same way. Both of these backs are known as power back, but they both can catch a football.
You know, what do you think as far as the pressure on Rodgers? You think it's going to be similar now? You got to, I mean, you know, Dallas's defense is an average defense. They're not very good.
I think it's totally unfair, Bruce.
Okay.
I think they're below average.
Okay. I was just being too nice for me, wasn't I, on a Sunday?
No, David, no. They're below average defense that was aided by their – and I think they'll get better with Rod Marinelli in a second. They played hard, but that, you know, didn't translate.
Right.
But the one area where they were very deficient was the pass rush. Aaron Rodgers was hobbled last week, and they still only sacked him once.
Right. You know who I really like, and he came on – really strong towards the end of the year, and that's the Wilson kid that spells his name with two L's, the tight end for Seattle. Tell me that, you know, when you got a guy like Russell Wilson that does a lot of play action and does a lot of rollouts and reverse bootlegs, when you got a tight end that can run, that can just, you know, as soon as a linebacker makes a mistake or a safety who's in coverage makes a mistake, that big guy is open quickly. What's that?
He's been one of their most reliable. Their receiving corps leaves a lot to be desired.
No, I agree.
They make timely play. They make some timely plays. But, I mean, you know, even with Percy Harvin there, this was not a quote-unquote great wide receiving corps. That's not to take anything away from Doug Baldwin and Jermaine Kearse and Lockett and so on. But it's not really what the Seahawks do. Now, when you throw these guys the ball, they catch it. Okay?
Right.
And they make tough catches, too. So I don't want people to get the impression that it's not a weakness that they have. It's just not the style of the Seahawks to throw. They rely on the running game. They rely on Marshawn Lynch. They rely on their quarterback who ran for 849 yards. So, you know, again, it's not a knock on what Seattle does. We saw this team run and pass for 596 yards one night against the Arizona Cardinals. So it's not like they can't move the football. And Baldwin and Kearse have come up very, very big in a lot of aspects. Kearse especially in the postseason. But with the way they design their offense, they have the ability to strike for some big plays on occasion, okay? But it's not like Green Bay who can let's put it this way, you feel like Green Bay could score on every possession. You don't necessarily feel that about the Seattle Seahawks.
No, I agree with you, Russ. You know, they're going to have to bang the ball on the ground. And I think running at the Packers is the way to beat them. You know, they rush the passer pretty damn well. They've got Clay Matthews in the middle now. Clay Matthews is as tough rushing the passer as any linebacker in football. He's an adequate tackler in the middle. His quickness sometimes works against him, if you understand what I'm saying, because he has a tendency to just take himself out of plays. But I think it's going to be a great game. Who do you see winning this game? I mean, do you see them going into Seattle and winning with, say, an 80% Aaron Rodgers?
Again, I think it's less about Aaron Rodgers and it's more about the entire team. And I just look at the fact that it'll be a closer game. I just think Seattle with that defense. You're talking about a Green Bay team in back-to-back weeks that scored 55 and 53 points
right
against the Bears and the Eagles, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they're facing a team that gave up 56 points in the last seven games. So you've got, you know, just like the Super Bowl last year, you've got the highest scoring team that gave up the fewest points in football. More times than not, the defense-oriented team wins. I had this close, by the way.
Yeah, you know what?
21-20 Seattle.
I think that's a good number, and I think it could be a lot more of a defensive game than it is an offensive game, especially playing in the rain out in Seattle. All right, let's talk about the other game, Russ. Indianapolis, New England. Luck looked great last week. What a lot of people are talking about today, and what I kind of see is Indianapolis really hasn't, you know, they. If you take away the game last week, they really haven't beaten anybody lately. Anybody they've played that's pretty good, including New England, they got whacked by this year, pretty much. Do you see that being a factor? Do you see them peaking now? I mean, are they going to get enough of a running game out of Heron, to be able to spring some Andrew Luck guys? The thing I like about Andrew Luck is I love his tight ends. I love Flaner and I love the other kid.
Dwayne Allen.
Yeah, you know what? They give him something that a lot of teams just don't have anymore, and that's two really good receiving tight ends. And Flanner's getting better every game. What do you think about this matchup, and do you think it's just too much Belichick, too much Pats, too much home cooking?
No, I don't think so much playing better. Now, you know, you can say who they want about they play. Listen, they've knocked off the Bengals and, and give credit where credit's due. And, you know, a lot of times we get too caught up in who you play. To me, it's how you play. And you watch them defensively. They have played, hard. They have played more aggressive. Secondary has played well. And now the Bengals were short a couple people, A.J. Green and Jermaine Gresham. We know about Tatum. But that shouldn't take away from what you're seeing the other guys on defense. Now, the problem with that is that's great. But Vonday Davis is a terrific cover corner. But I don't know much covering he's going to necessarily be doing today because this is a team that in the last two meetings against New England has given up 408 and 10 rushing touchdowns. 1 year it's LeGarrette Blount in the playoffs. This year it's Jonas Gray. One guy had 166. One guy had 201. One guy had four rushing touchdowns. The other guy had four rushing touchdowns. It's in a bad matchup for Indianapolis, but they're not a great run defense. They have played. So here's, I hear people, they played the run better. They played the season finale against the Tennessee Titans, gave up 142 yards rushing. They gave up 110. So you can mix and match numbers and weights where you want. And it's simply put to me, until Indianapolis shows me they can hold New England under control on the ground, I have a hard time picking them.
Yeah, no, I hear you, because that game we all watched where Gray had well over 200 yards and then we didn't see him again. I mean, it just led you to believe like the running game is the way to go. Russ,
well,
Russell, I can't thank you enough for calling in. I really appreciate it. Profootballguru.com. Russ, tell them what other shows you're on and where they can find you.
Well, I'm going to do a selfish plug here.
Please.
Back on Twitter, and I have my Facebook page, but the thing I wanted to plug here was in 13 days, I am going to be jumping into a frozen lake to raise money for my local YMCA.
Which lake?
It's a lake in Connecticut. It's going to be frozen. They're going to chop it up, and me and other people are going to jump and raise money to help the...
You count me in, okay? Do I get a T-shirt for this, too?
I'm going to be in Hollywood, put it that way.
All right, buddy. Russell Baxter, everybody. ProFootballGuru.com. Russ, thanks so much for calling in, buddy, and sharing all that good stuff with us. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. We'll be back in a minute with more of Second Opinion.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I'm reading Twitter, which I have a tendency to do probably 4 or 5 hours every day. And Mike Wells, who's a beat writer in Indianapolis, states that to ESPN.com, I had to miss walkthrough. I'm dealing with a very serious family emergency from Trent Register, and he missed the flight. That's not going to hurt him because he's been a healthy scratch pretty much most of the year, maybe the entire year except for a couple of games. But if there's a very serious family emergency, our hearts and prayers go out to him, and hopefully everything will be okay. You know, I'm looking at some stats. You know, I love stats. I'm kind of a stat guy. I don't talk as much about stats when I'm handicapping on the show because there are 8 billion people out there that will hammer you with stats. I like to hammer you with my knowledge of the game. But here's a good stat. Green Bay quarterback Aaron Rodgers has been the underdog of more than 6 points in a game once in his NFL career. He won the game 9-0 against the New York Jets in October 2010, the season the Packers last won the Super Bowl. So you go to that, and you're thinking, oh, I'm getting ready to drop Seattle -8, and they're just going to smoke the Packers. And then you think, you know, maybe this guy Aaron Rodgers is what you say he is every week. He's just so good, he keeps his team in the game all the time. Now, they did get whacked very early in the season by the Seattle team in Seattle by a score of 42-20. You know, that's not good. But you know, Aaron Rodgers isn't 100%. But if you watched the game last week with Aaron Rodgers against Dallas, and we could talk about that catch or lack of a catch forever and take calls on it and just tell everybody not to call in anymore. I'm going to tell you right now, that was the easiest call. One of the easiest calls I made watching on TV, because as soon as he caught that ball, talking about Dez Bryant, and this is why Green Bay's here. It's one of the reasons. If that's a touchdown, Green Bay has less than 2 minutes to go down the length of the field and try to win the game. Now, they might have done that. Don't get me wrong. You know, they might have done that. And, another thing, by the way, straight up Green Bay ended up going off at -6. So when they went for 2 last weekend and didn't get it, there are a lot of people out there, including Bruce Hall Sports, that had played played Green Bay straight up in the Handicappers Bowl. Now, you know, I ended up pushing because I basically went 4-4 last week, or 2-2 last week. But, you know, that was a dangerous play. Seattle, here's another stat for you, okay? Now, this is, we're getting into Colts' Andrew Luck. He's 5-1 straight up and against the spread as an underdog against opponents with a win percentage of more than 750. 750 being like three wins, one loss. 6 wins, 2 losses. So Andrew Luck, straight up and against the spread, has got a 5-1 record against teams like the New England Patriots today. Seattle in the National Football Conference is 5-0 straight up and against the spread in its last 5 home games against NFC North opponents, like Green Bay, like Chicago, like Minnesota. Now, the only team worth talking about beating in that group of people is Green Bay. So, but they're 5-0 against them. They don't seem to have a problem with them. Here you go. New England is 10-0 straight up in its last 10 games against AFC South opponents. Well, the NFC South, or the AFC South, pretty much sucks. We all know that. Indianapolis, you know, has won that division, what, for the last 4 years? And probably something like 10 out of the last 11 years. That's why, they're going through a lot of coaches in that conference. Mm-hmm. You know, it's amazing when you look at some of this stuff. Here's one for you. This is a very average group of stats, and this kind of leads you to believe that Andrew Luck and the Colts have a shot. Belichick brings a 5-3 straight up and 3-5 against the spread slate into championship affairs, including 5-point spread failures in his last 5 games. He's also 0-5 against the spread in title games after scoring 24 or more points in divisional round games. What this tells you is these are the last few years. Now, when was Spygate? 2003, 2005, and 2006, right? That's when they were cheating and got caught. And, well, Spygate really might have been cheating even after that, because that all stuff hit the fan in 2007. But maybe when he's not using other ways to make sure he wins the game, he's not such a good coach after all. I don't believe. I mean, I still think he's a good coach. Don't get me wrong. And I'm not here preaching conspiracy theories to all these people that are Patriot fans that are cursing my name right now and throwing their radios up against the wall. I don't think people do that anymore. Would you throw your laptop up against the wall? No, you just turn this to somewhere else.
Well, it's icy up there, so they may throw their
go to Twitter and find out all this good stuff that's going on. I'm going to tell you, this first game with Seattle and Green Bay, I really. We're not at 11 yet, so I'm not going to give you my picks yet. I'm going to start getting closer and closer as we go. But generally speaking, during the playoffs and the Super Bowl, that's when I'm at my best. This year, I'm okay. I've been okay all year. I'm somewhere between. If you go to nhbowl.com, nationalhandicappersbowl.com, you'll see how I did. If you pull out my name there for the season, you'll see how I did against the spread. For the season, you'll see how I've done during the playoffs, and you'll also see how I did during the college bowl season. Not so bad. By the way, I was on Ohio State. I'm going to talk about that for the last 2 or 3 minutes real quick. For those of you that are big Buckeye fans, you know, there's a reason I hate college football, a part of college football, and that's because they screw all the other men's sports. The smaller sports, soccer, baseball, wrestling, crew, track and field, even track and field, not basketball, because all those kids get scholarships that are on the team for the most part. But the NCAA football Division I, they get 85 full scholarships maximum. That's ridiculous. You can't put but 22 people on the field, first string, offense and defense. Second string and first string, 44 people. Three strings, full scholarships is 66 people. Guess what, people? That's enough damn scholarships. That's it. You don't need more than that. If I went to every coach in the NCAA right now in Division I and said, let me ask you a question, coach. Could you make 66 scholarships work here? Or not have a program, 100% of them would go, absolutely, I can make that work. Are you kidding me? We just have walk-ons. I mean, we don't even dress for the road. We don't even take more than 50 people. Exactly. How many scholarships are wasted on guys that flunk out after 1 year? A lot more in football than any other sport, I can tell you that. Because they got a lot more scholarships. I mean, you know. And because of Title IX, and look, I'm not gonna sit here and say women shouldn't have sports. That's crazy. They should have sports, and they should have an equality, which they do have now. They got more than that. They can't even give away all their scholarships and all their Division I schools. Seriously, I used to get calls about softball all the time from coaches all over the country that go, "Hey, I've got 3 scholarships to give away. You know any good girls over there that can play softball?" They're calling me. I'm a baseball coach. You know, my daughter plays softball. She's a senior at Gettysburg. She plays Division III. They don't have scholarships. They have to pay for their own uniforms and stuff. Pay for everything. Anyway, I'm getting mad. Hey, you know what? I need to get somebody used to work with the NCAA on. We'll talk about that in greater detail sometime when we set aside half of our show for that. We'll be back in a minute with more Second Opinion. This is Bruce Hall.
This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Well, it's 11 o'clock. We've turned another hour. And it's just going to continue to get better. Got a couple of guys that are probably going to be calling in later. Trying to get Roy to call in. Haven't seen Roy in a while. Roy's got a brand new little bouncing baby boy and staying real busy. also got a government job during the week, so he works quite a bit and got his little radio empire going on his blogs and his what do you call that when somebody's online?
Podcast.
Yeah, I'm podcast on BruceHallSports.com, obviously. If you ever want to hear any of our shows, you can just go straight to that. By the way, Russell Wilson, kid that he's the only jersey that I wear anymore. I love Russell Wilson. I think the kid's great. One of the reasons I like Russell Wilson is because he's a baseball player, too. He just fired his I don't know the guy's name, but he just fired his agent. About 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, that was a football agent, and he hired a baseball agent. And Russell's only like 25 years old. I mean, he's got plenty of, and he's in great shape. And
you think he's confident that he's going to make another Super Bowl appearance or not?
Well, you know what I think? I think he needs to win a Super Bowl to go, you know, to have two Super Bowl rings. And then I think next year he'll probably, you know, if they do win, I don't want to jinx him. I got to knock on wood here. I think if he comes back next year and they're in the mix again, I think he could probably go play baseball. Listen, everybody, you know, playing an entire career and being a National Football League Hall of Famer isn't everybody's goal in life. If you just read Russell Wilson's tweets, I mean, he's a very special kid. He's extremely religious. His faith means everything to him. And he's a nice kid. He's just a and I'd love to see this guy. Texas Rangers drafted him last year. Yeah, drafted him late, but it didn't matter. I mean, because, you know, he's good enough to play at the next level in baseball too.
But do you think in this climate a top level player can do two sports at nine?
No, I wouldn't want him doing two at a time. I think he'd have to retire from football and play baseball. Now, let me just say this. He was drafted because of his age and because of the way he was drafted. Mm-hmm. He's going to automatically go to double-A camp, which means that he'll play at the double-A level pretty much right away. Now, they may drop him down. And during spring training, they may have him playing with A-ball players and bringing him up slowly. I would imagine Russell Wilson probably would only be in the minors for a year or so at the longest. If he makes the major leagues by the time he's 28, he could play 10 years in the major leagues. 10 years in the major leagues along with what – two Super Bowl rings and 4 years in the NFL is a hell of a pension. You're getting pension from football and you're getting a pension from baseball. So he wouldn't even have to do, anything after that. I mean, he could start his own church if he wanted to. I mean, this kid is just going to do some special things. He's like Tim Tebow, but with the talent. Well, the NFL talent. I'm not just saying that. You know I love Tim Tebow. I love to watch Tim Tebow play. I mean, I would rather have seen Tim. I can't tell you how many tweets I got from people last week watching Peyton Manning, you know, not be able to do anything, going, where's Tebow when you need him? Well, yeah, Tebow actually won that game that Peyton lost last week. Remember, 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Maybe it was 4 years ago. I think it was 3 years ago. Anyway, he's doing some pretty crazy things. Russell Wilson is 24-2. That's 24-2. Straight up an 18-7-1 against the spread at home in his NFL career, including 13-0 straight up and 12-1 against the spread versus opponents who are off a straight up win of more than 3 points. Basically, what that says is they're awful good at home. And I think that this is huge because, you know, their head coach, Pete Carroll, how can you not like Pete Carroll? Now, a lot of people don't like Pete Carroll because because he beats them all the time. But Pete Carroll is a guy that's, I want to say Pete's 64, 65. He looks about 50, doesn't he? He's in great shape. He runs around like crazy. He's throwing footballs all the time. He's, you know, the guy, when he was at Southern Cal, when he was at USC, he used to go off in the middle of the night and go talk to homeless people, make sure stuff was going on. You know, if anybody needed anything, they could get it. He literally was known on the streets of L.A. as a guy that they recognized, and nobody would mess with him. They'd come talk to him, be nice. You know what I'm saying? Guys like that are hard to find. So being a communicator among, you know, his guys, I mean, look, when you're a coach, you're basically like a den leader. I mean, you know, you're like a Boy Scout leader. Everybody's different.
I think you're the first person to call Pete Carroll a den mother.
He is a den mother. He's a good one too. I love Pete. Pete's going to do a good job. But anyway, we're sitting here looking at let's talk about a couple of other trends here. Tom Brady is 12-1 straight up and 8-4-1 against the spread during his first 13 NFL playoff games. But the Patriots, listen to this, are 6-7 straight up and 3-10 against the spread behind Brady in his last 13 playoff games. Now, let me see. Are the last 13 playoff games after he got caught, they got caught for Spygate? Oh, yes, they are. So there's a conspiracy theory for you. There's a lot of reasons out there to take Andrew Luck today. I think if you see Matt Caron running the ball, you know, 20 times, 17 to 25 times for 60 to 80 yards, and you see Andrew Luck not turn the ball over, this is going to be a really good game. I think if New England jumps out on top of them early like they could do, running the football, and they go up, say, by a score of 21-3 early, I think it could be a long day for the Indianapolis Colts, because I don't think they're going to play catch up very well. I really don't see it. Number one seeds coming off of a straight up loss are 14-4 straight up and 12-6 against the spread, while these same top seeds off of a straight up win are 20-10 and 11-19 against the spread. That's interesting. Tom Brady, by the way, is there anybody in the world that you would maybe rather be than him? I mean, the guy's married to Gisele Bündchen. She's worth something like $600 million. She's pretty good looking too. They've got two great kids. He's probably a first ballot Hall of Famer in the NFL. Tom's got to be, what, 36 now? He's playing like he's 26. Might be 34. I get my fours and sixes mixed up. You listen to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Bruce Hall. Listen, the one thing that you can't lose track of in today's game, let's talk about the first game here for the last hour. The Packers, it's going to be all up to – they've got to be able to run the football. If they can't run the football with Eddie Lacy and James Starks.
Well, we know it's not going to be Aaron Rodgers running.
Well, you know, he's only got to be able to run and move just enough to keep from getting hurt. Not sacked. I would say getting sacked's okay as long as you don't get hurt. But if you saw Aaron Rodgers last week, man, I mean,
who actually ran for a touchdown?
He looked really. He didn't run for a touchdown.
Yeah, he got in.
I don't think he ran. He didn't run for a touchdown. He let one go sidearm, falling down, and it was a good pass.
I have to look that up.
He didn't run for a touchdown. I'll tell you what was an interesting stat last week was the New England Patriots in the second half only rushed the ball one time, and it was a 2-yard quarterback sneak by Tom Brady to get a first down. For the first time in generations, the dream of homeownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect homeownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute with more Second Opinion.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
So I was wrong. He didn't get a touchdown.
I didn't think so.
I don't know what I'm thinking.
You know, it was not the week before, but he did back into the end zone on some tape I was watching, but I can't remember when that must have been the week before. But anyway, we are back. You know, Charlie Cat, let's talk Jets real quick. You know, since this show does go out live in New York, The New York Jets, there is a chance. You got a head coach now that's, I would say, sees the bigger picture a lot better than Rex Ryan did. And by the way, how bad is it that Rex Ryan goes to Buffalo and gets hired there? I mean, what are those people thinking about? They hire – look, there's a lot of people out there that like Rex. You know, I'm not one of them. Okay, I liked him when he was in Baltimore and he was a defensive coordinator, because basically that's what he does best. When you give him an entire roster to mess with, it's too big of a picture for him, in my opinion. That's just me. Some, you know, there are great coordinators that could never be good head coaches. There are actually head coaches that were average coordinators, but they're better head coaches because they just organize better. They kind of allocate authority better. They know how to balance everything. I like the hire they made. They hired Todd Bowles. For those of you who know who Todd Bowles is, Todd Bowles was a safety in the NFL for, I want to say, 13 years, maybe 14 years. Todd Bowles was with the Washington Redskins when they were winning Super Bowls. He's 51 years old, same age as Ron Middleton, who comes on our show all the time. He's the Jacksonville tight ends coach now and assistant special teams coach. But those guys played together when the Hogs were when the Hogs were the offensive line of the Washington Redskins. For you kids under the age of 30, you won't remember who Hogs are, but for everybody probably over 30, you will remember the Hogs. They were the first that was before the salary cap in the NFL, too, because, you know, back then you could pay your players kind of what you wanted to. So it was more like baseball. That's the problem with baseball now, it's hard to be competitive when you're only spending $50 or $60 million a year. Now, you know, Billy Beane of the Oakland A's has figured out how to do it. But in the NFL, everybody can spend exactly the same amount of money. Now, they don't do that. There are teams that save a little money by being under the salary cap, that, you know, maybe $10, $20 million or so. There have been people in the past that have been $30 million or so under the salary cap. Not exactly the best way for you to probably have the best chance to win. I would say that baseball gets it. From a standpoint of, well, I'm sorry, the NFL gets it, because what the NFL does is they don't give anybody a money competitive edge. New York Yankees, Los Angeles Dodgers spend $200 to $250 million a year. The Yankees were trying to get down to that 180 number the last 2 years. I don't know that they ever got there. The Jets have got a lot of work to do. They've got a great defensive guy. They had a good defensive guy with Rex, but Rex didn't bring in an offensive coordinator. In my opinion, their offense has just been, you know, they can blame it on not having a quarterback. Mark Sanchez wasn't a terrible quarterback. Mark Sanchez for 2 years went to playoff games. Now, Mark Sanchez wasn't as much of that team as some of the guys on the defensive side of the ball and offensive side of the ball that were older than him, and that's how they got into the AFC Championship game. But Charlie Casserly was evidently, you know, former GM of the Houston Texans and the Washington Redskins, was hired by Woody Johnson to give him a hand at hiring their new guys, and he hired Mike Maccagnan, who's, you know, he's a decent GM. He's going to do a good job there, I think. He's a lot better than Idzik. He's not a number. He's not a bookworm. He's more of a talent guy. And Todd Bowles knows talent. Trust me. He not only knows talent on the defensive side of the ball, he knows talent on the offensive side of the ball from all of his experiences before. And Bowles has been around the league a little bit, but ending up with Bruce Arians in Arizona, you know, we had Jess Root on earlier. And I meant to ask him. We only had him for a segment. If I'd have kept him the second segment, I would have just let him talk about Todd Bowles for all you Jets fans out there. But Todd Bowles, you are getting a quality guy. He probably – I mean, the Jets hired him and didn't even think about hiring the defensive coordinator, Quinn, who's from New Jersey, by the way. And by the way, Todd Bowles is from New Jersey, too. That's where his family's from. So, I mean, the Jets are going to, for 5 years, you're going to get a guy that's going to get better every year. And you just need to get, evidently, Chan Gailey is up for the offensive coordinator's job. Chan Gailey is probably good friends with Todd Bowles because they competed against each other when Gailey was with the when Ty was with the Redskins and Gailey was the Cowboy coach. I mean, you know, so they know each other well. Gailey was in Buffalo too, I think. It was the head coach in Buffalo. He was the head coach, and he was a head coach in Dallas for a couple of years too. Of course, there's been a lot of head coaches in Dallas. God, you had Barry Switzer in there for a couple of years when Jimmy Johnson quit. You had Chan Gailey. I want to say he was there for 3 or 4 years. You had Wade Phillips in there for about 4 or 5 years. Wade Phillips just interviewed for the defensive coordinator's job in Washington. In Washington, they made the announcement all day one day, including yours truly, because I thought it was a done deal, that they were hiring a guy, and now the defensive coordinator for the San Francisco Giants got let go. So, and he is, look at the
49ers.
Look, I mean, 49ers, San Francisco Giants. I got my mind on Boach there.
It wouldn't surprise me if Snyder said, let's just get someone from baseball.
But if you look,
that seems like his kind of a decision that he would make.
Now, listen, the Giants are staying put. You know, they got rid of their defensive coordinator. They kept Jerry Reese. I was surprised. That just goes to show you how the Giants, very much like the Steelers, only this year they let a 74-year-old defensive coordinator go who's already in the Hall of Fame this past week. There is talk that he will end up in Arizona with Bruce Arians, who's 63 years old. I mean, the two of them will be the two, you know. I mean, let me tell you, both of them can coach circles around people. Both of them. And it's going to be exciting to see. My question with the Pittsburgh Steelers right now is, why are you keeping Mike Tomlin? I mean, it's like your head coach is your weakest guy. They just extended their offensive coordinator 4 years, and he's done a great job with Ben Roethlisberger, but they missed out in the playoffs because their defense isn't that good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's Dick LeBeau is the defensive coordinator. Dick LeBeau is in the NFL Hall of Fame as a player with the Detroit Lions. Dick LeBeau has been their defensive coordinator for, I want to say, 26 years. And
think all Pittsburgh has to do is.
Did you read the tweet about the woman who just had her funeral? She was like 84 years old. Mm-hmm. And she and her family in the obituary said that Dick LeBeau being let go contributed to her death. She literally, when they let him go, was beside herself and hurting, and she died of heart failure or something. And I got to tell you something. How bad? But my point is, they let this guy go. Now, I understand they didn't really let him go. Well, first they said they let him go. And then that's what's great about Twitter. When they read that they're getting this press that they fired the guy, then it was like, they both the team and LeBeau decided that they needed to part ways. But as soon as I read that tweet, a half hour later, it's Dick LeBeau going, hey, I want to work somewhere. This is a guy that's 70, I want to say he's 74 years old, 74 years old. And by the way, Tom Brady's 37. I was closer when I said 36, wasn't I? I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. There's all kinds of wild stuff going on out here.
To go back to your point.
Sure.
I think Pittsburgh only has to look down the street to the Redskins to see what not having a consistent coaching staff does to a team who, you look at how many head coaches has the Redskins.
Cleveland's just as bad. I want to say Cleveland's had 8 and 11 years. And and Cleveland and Washington are probably number 31 and number 32 as far as your quality franchises in the league. No, you know, Tony Mazur may come on the last 15 minutes and talk a little bit about who he's picking today.
And by the way, Dick LeBeau, 77.
Yeah, he's 77 years old. Unbelievable. He was almost as old as the lady who passed away.
They may have gone to high school together.
You need to Google Dick LeBeau. He is a great, you know, and look at how good the Pittsburgh a Steeler defense has been for so long. I mean, it's been unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Tom Brady's looking for his sixth AFC Conference Championship win. It would be the most ever by a quarterback in this round. Good luck with that. I think I haven't decided. What have I got? 11:30. I'm gonna have to let everybody know here probably in the next segment which way I'm going. So if you want to know who I'm playing today, so you can either go the other way or take the side that I take. Either way, you'll need to tune in to next segment. John Fox getting the Chicago Bear job. You know, this is a guy that went 2-14. Now, John Fox, a lot of people like him. He's exactly my age. But I didn't think he did anything in Carolina after he took them to that Super Bowl. They played against the New England Patriots and lost on a last-second field goal by Adam Vinatieri. And by the way, Adam Vinatieri tested negative to that to the PED test he took last week, or he wouldn't be playing this week, I don't think. And by the way, Adam Vinatieri is 43 years old and looks like he's 23. So he's taking something. he's taking exercise and a good diet.
I don't think that's Centrum Silver.
You know what? He's still kicking 54, 55-yard field goals, too. I mean, the guy is unbelievable. If you go on Twitter, go to Giselle Official, at Giselle Official. And you also need to follow me, at Bruce Hall Sports. Giselle Bundchen. I just retweet everything she sends out because she's so hot. She's crazy. I like watching her do her karate stuff on the heavy bag that she does. She stays in pretty good shape. She probably works out a lot harder than Tom Brady does, I'm sure. It's the thing I keep thinking, you know, I'm torn because I like the Patriots. I mean, as far as a football team, I like Bill Belichick, not as a person, but as a coach. You know, when all he does is coach, okay? You know, when there's not anything else going on the sides. But I think personally that this is a great setup for Andrew Luck. If they can run the football and they can play some decent defense, they're not going to get burned by this receiving core. Except for Gronk. Somebody's got to cover Gronk. I don't see anybody. It's not going to be LeRon Landry. LeRon Landry is going to be two steps behind Gronk, and when he reaches for him without his legs, Gronk's going to drag him another 10 yards. I just don't see anything positive happening. We're going to be back in a minute with more of Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Bill Belichick he's actually appearing in his ninth AFC Championship game in 15 seasons with the Pats. And he's one victory away from his sixth Super Bowl trip in that span. That's pretty incredible. You know, he's matched up on Chuck Pagano. And even if you talk, you know, Chuck Pagano is a feel-good story. You know, he had cancer 2 years ago, and Bruce Arians took over the team, and the team became Chuck Strong, and they kind of got behind their coach who was sick. And, you know, they had a great year. That was Andrew Luck's first year. What a difference a couple years makes. Look at Andrew Luck. He's on the verge of becoming – you know, being in the Super Bowl and becoming that guy everybody thinks he's going to be. And Robert Griffin III is on the verge of being released by the Washington Redskins next year if he doesn't do anything. And they went 1-2 in the draft. Not a real good, you know, if you look at a lot of past drafts, there's not a lot of really good stories about the number one and two picks. A lot of great guys have come from later rounds. So Tom Brady's a sixth round pick. I mean, come on, you know. Is that something that was blown? Yeah, maybe. You know, maybe they blew it. Maybe he wasn't. You know, if something doesn't happen, you know, to the starting quarterback for the Patriots a couple of games before the Super Bowl, way back when, we don't even know who Tom Brady is for a couple, three more years. So, you know, that's the difference between – that's just fate, pretty much. But this is going to be a good game. I really think it is. If you watch the Pats, they haven't devoured really anybody. I mean, if you look at the way that their season has gone, you know, I was saying earlier, the one thing that I like about their season is they seem to have done almost everything they wanted to do. But, you know, in reality, are they going to be able to get there? You know, Indianapolis, if you looked at everybody's top tens over the past, I don't know, 10 games, have really never been any higher up than like 7th or 8th or 9th or 10th in the NFL's top 10 list. And, you know, winning in Denver this past, you know, game last week basically just projected them up into an elite category. And it's not so much that the way they did it, because God knows, I mean, Denver had the ball so many times with an opportunity to move the ball and score and beat these guys. They just didn't get it done because Peyton Manning was like he was 50%, maybe 40%, because he couldn't throw the ball the way that Peyton Manning has got to throw the ball. You know, I mean, you know, he's been operating off of a shoulder and an arm and nerves and his back surgery and all that. You know, he had to work so hard just to get back to where he was at the start of last season. Forget about this season. And he started out this season, but, you know, about two-thirds way into the season, he gets sacked really hard. And I don't know if you remember this game, but it was when he went to the locker room. They weren't sure he was going to come back. And they were talking about it was a torn quad. Well, supposedly he's got two torn quads, a pulled quad and a torn quad. I think it's just a...
So basically, he has 16ths now.
I think what it is, honestly... Yeah, exactly. I think what it is, Matt, is I think his neck is not doing so well. That's what I think. I don't think anybody wants to talk about his back, because that's some serious stuff when you start talking about somebody's back. But we'll see. You know, you never know. Adam Vinatieri, by the way, he's going to set a record here. The two really good kickers, Steve. You know, Vinatieri, to me, is the best kicker in the NFL. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I want to say he only missed one kick all year, and he might have missed another one last week.
Yeah, he missed the one.
Missed another one last week, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens. If you look at the Colts offense, they've got some guys that can make some plays. They've got two tight ends. I think they have the best two tight ends that are in it right now. You know, they've got Kobe Flaner, who I had on my fantasy team last year and didn't do diddly. Not this past year, but the year before. But they've also got Dwayne Allen, who's a beast and is healthy. And I don't know if that matchup is going to be good for the New England Patriots. I just don't see that being a good matchup for them, because they've got decent safeties. They got Patrick Chung kind of run. Patrick Chung's their best tackler. They've got Darrell Revis doing his Revis Island thing on one side of the field. But then everybody else they've got is kind of average. They have a tendency to line up cornerbacks when they're in nickel. And if they're lining cornerbacks up with defensive, with tight ends, they're in trouble. Because I'm telling you, Dwayne Allen is a monster. He made some plays last week that were incredible. I think honestly that New England's going to win the game. I just don't think they're going to lose this game. I don't think they can afford to lose the game. You know, their fans have been very patient for a long time. I've taken New England fans to the Super Bowl. There are a lot of New England Patriot fans. They come from everywhere: Chicago, Dallas, Florida, New York, Baltimore, Washington, San Francisco. They're everywhere because
who wants to stay in Baltimore?
Yeah, who wants to live in New England 12 months out of the year? But the point I'm trying to make, Matt, is they're due, man. They're overdue. They need to be in the Super Bowl. Because if they don't make it again, I mean, I don't know if they come back from this, because this is the year I think they really counted on to be there. Look at it. Peyton Manning is not, he's just getting worse. So they had a real good shot at beating Denver, not even on Denver's home territory, right? If Denver wins last week, they still have to go to New England. New England won every game they had to win this year to host through the playoffs, and they did it. I just think this is New England's. But having said that, if Mac Heron can run the football and Indianapolis does not turn the ball over, I think Andrew Luck, honestly, is such a monster at 6'5 and 245, 250, running a 4.5 and change 40-yard dash and throwing the ball with precision. As long as they don't turn the ball over, I think this game comes down to a field goal. I really do. So here you go. I'm an idiot.
So we got your first pick of the
week. I'm gonna release my first pick. My first pick is going to be Indy, and it's going to be plus the points. Now, for all you people out there that read my tweets earlier, yeah, I was leaning on both favorites. I was. But I really think that this New England team is going to win, but I think it's going to be a close game. And I think they may even come back and win. I really do. I think Gostkowski might be the guy that does. Could you imagine if Adam Vinatieri is the guy that kicks a field goal that beats New England? Now, it's going to be raining, and the Colts are an indoor team. So the advantage, you know, with the rain, obviously, is New England, and it's going to slow things down a little bit. There's not a lot of speed on the New England sideline anyway. They're going to be able to run the football, but I think Mac Heron's going to be able to run the football too. I'm going to take Indy plus the points.
With the weather, what do you think of that total of 53 right now?
I think the total goes over, because here's what I think. I think Indy starts strong like they did last week. Mm-hmm. And I think they may even have a lead at halftime. I think it's going to go over in points. I really do. I don't think defense is going to decide this game. I think it's going to be who can outscore who, because you got Brady and Andrew Luck. I mean, you do. You really do. I think Indy last week could have scored more points if they had to. They just didn't need to, with Peyton Manning, you know, basically laying an egg. You know, not that it was his fault, but you know that's the way that is. You know, I'm gonna see if the line has changed here. You go to VegasInsider.com. And you can find out what the line is right now. You go to NFL, you click on it, and then you...
So total now is at 53.
Yeah.
Still minus 6.5 for...
You know what? I still like the over. You know, it's going to be a hell of a game to watch. The line is actually moving down. Seattle's still 8. They're still minus 8. I'm going to come, you know, when we come back from our break, I'm going to give you who I'm going to play in the Green Bay Seattle game. And then we'll be done. Tony Mazur may call in the last segment. There's a good chance he will, and just confuse us totally. But, by the way, the spread money right now, remember when I said it was 50-50 Green Bay Seattle? Now it's 52-48 on Green Bay. Late money is on the dog. Is on the dog against Seattle.
Well, going back
and
to the Indianapolis
money line is also on Green Bay.
But going back to the Indianapolis New England game, look at that
57-43. It hasn't moved. That's what it's been.
But it's the number's gone down. What does that say?
Which number are you talking about? Because of the weather. It's raining. It's 80% chance of showers. It's probably like it is here. It's a mess. Here we got a little ice. You know, they may have ice up there too.
I think it's all up the east.
I think it's I think it's about the same. I don't think it's much colder up there either. I think it's about the same. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting. Money lines on New England. The spread money's on New England. You know, maybe I'm on the right side on Indianapolis, because the boys don't like to lose.
I would think that be a little bit closer, though. That's pretty.
I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be Indy. And you know what? It gives me an opportunity to root for my favorite guy and my fantasy football quarterback, Andrew Luck. Thank you very much. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back with the last segment of Second Opinion in a minute.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I'm taking a look. I'm getting ready to make... Roy may be calling in a second. He's probably changing diapers right now. I just wanted to see who he liked, because if he likes the other side, I feel a lot better about life. You know, I'm having second thoughts about my pick against New England, but I'm going to stay with Indy. I'm going to tell you why I'm staying with them. I'm staying with them because I really do believe in their receiving core, and I believe in Andrew Luck. And I think their defense doesn't have to be all that great. Look, I'm going to sit here and look at the Patriots. Here is what the Patriots did the last six games of the season. They go to Indy. They go to Indy and crush them 42-20. Okay? There is a thing called payback. There's nothing worse than getting embarrassed in front of your home fans by 22 points by Bill Belichick and a bunch of cocky kids. Okay? See, I'm trying to pump myself up for this Indianapolis pick. They go Patriots play Detroit at home and they crush them 34-9. Before that, in a bye week, they had beaten Denver 43-21. Now they go to Green Bay. Now I saw that game. That was a Sunday night game, I'm pretty sure. They lose to the Packers in Green Bay 26-21. It was a very good game. This is before Aaron Rodgers gets hurt. Then they go to San Diego and they beat a Chargers team that's kind of reeling. Then they come home and they whack Miami 41-13. Now, let me tell you what's happened by this time. If you're Bill Belichick and the Patriots, you're already thinking about how do you shut down your team without losing both of your without splitting your last two games, because you need one more win to have home field advantage for the playoffs. They go to New York to play the Jets. Now, I'm not convinced that Bill Belichick and Rex Ryan aren't best friends, because Rex always plays him very, very tough, but and there's always very close games, and the Jets have in the past beaten him. I think the reason he does that is because they both know each other's defenses so well, and if you ever notice, there's never a lot of offense in those games. New England did everything they could to lose that game, and they won because a Jet kicker had a field goal blocked at the end of the game. Then they go out against Buffalo. You'll remember this. This was 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I said, hey, if Jon Bon Jovi's at that game, they're taking Buffalo. Buffalo wins 17-9. They threw that game. Not on purpose, but they did. They mailed it in. They mailed the game in. They lose 17-9. Everything the Patriots have tried to do, they've done. However, they're in the playoffs now. Once you turn stuff off, it's hard sometimes to turn it back on. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just a little worried. I think that right now, Andrew Luck may be at his best of the year. You got to remember, he's a 25-year-old kid.
He's also probably the most hungry.
He's a bad... He is just a talent and a half. And he's got... His team, in my opinion, is as healthy as they've been, with the exception of their best cornerback, who's a little nicked up.
Also, looked at every
Vontae
other
quarterback. Vontae Davis is a little nicked up.
Every quarterback in it right now already has their
All run. Right. Well, I'm staying on them. I'm going to stay on them +6.5. Roy, is that you, buddy?
Yep. How are you, Bruce?
I'm doing good. I hope we can hear you better than we heard Russell. It was hard to hear Russell. He's got some kind of thing going on with his what do you call that when you
just move on.
Anyway, the Roy, I already picked Andrew Luck. I'm picking the Pats to win, but I'm picking the Colts to cover the 6.5. And I'm also going to play an exotic plus 16.5 in that game. I think that game comes down to a field goal. I think you got I think you got two of the best kickers. You got Guskowski and you got Vinatieri, who's getting ready to break an NFL record in this game. I think it's going to come down to a kick in the rain, is what I think.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think the first game of the day is not going to be the better of the two, and I think that's going to be the blowout with Seattle. I just think Russell Wilson and the Seahawks are playing on another level right now. They look like a championship team again. I completely agree with you with New England. I think Andrew Luck, I don't know if the Colts win, but they're going to keep it close. It's going to come down to a field goal. I absolutely agree. I think that could even be less than a 3-point game. That could be a 1 or 2-point game coming down the stretch. But I agree. I got the Colts to cover, and I have Seattle to manhandle the Packers.
All right, let's talk about the other game now. And this is the game, in my opinion, it's a mystery. You know, we saw Aaron Rodgers last week perform his magic. He didn't perform enough damn magic to cover the point spread because they didn't get the 2-point conversion after they scored the touchdown. If they do, I'm screaming and hollering. But Seattle, is there anybody that I mean, think of what they did last week against a team that really gave them all they had, and then it just wasn't nearly enough at the end of the game. You know, I mean, they just ran away with it. It was like their defense was, you know what they were doing? They were kind of letting them move the ball as long as they had the lead. And then all of a sudden when they'd get down in the red zone, they would just make plays. And a lot of that's Cam Newton too, because Cam Newton telegraphs everything. Cam Newton winds up when he throws. They're facing a little bit better quarterback. A lot of people will say right now, Roy, maybe you will, that Seattle hasn't really beaten anybody, and Green Bay has beaten some really good teams coming into this. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I could hear that. I mean, even Arizona, who you know was the big contender out in that division, didn't really have a quarterback, and we saw them kind of got overwhelmed against Carolina in the first round. So I could see that Seattle hasn't really beaten anybody. I mean, they lost to the Cowboys, you know, but their defense has really started playing much better down the stretch in the last couple of games. I know they haven't really played any big time quarterbacks. They haven't seen a guy like an Aaron Rodgers since early in the season. But I think that Seattle, they're hot right now. They entered into the postseason probably the hottest of all the teams. They're the defending champs, so they have that swagger in them. Aaron Rodgers, he might be hurt, but even the 90%, 80% Aaron Rodgers is a great Aaron Rodgers. So I think that, you know, the Packers might keep it close for the first half, but it's going to be too much defense, too much Seattle. And Russell Wilson can beat you too many ways. I don't think Green Bay's defense has the tools to keep up with beast mode and the dynamics of a Russell Wilson. So I got Seattle. I have Seattle, New England in the Super Bowl. Although I wouldn't be surprised to see Andrew Luck pull up the upset.
You know what? That would make sense. We were pointing out a lot of, you know how you turned me on to Spygate, the untold story with your buddy who wrote the book, and how I'm always quoting that. You know, all of the against the spread and straight up numbers for the past, like, 8 or 9 years since, you know, 2004, you know, and 2005 when they were playing games, you know, with the technology and so forth. You know what? Their numbers are horrible. So, you know, even, you know, but they are at home, you know, New England. So it's hard to go against them. I just think that as a New England, you know, if you're part of the New England fan base, you got to get this win because they haven't been to the Super Bowl in a while. You know, I don't know if they've been there since they won against in Houston against Carolina Panthers. You know, when John Fox was there.
Well, they lost to the Giants.
That's right. I forget. That's right. That was the perfect year, right? And the Giants upset them. And we picked the Giants That was the year I picked the Giants, amazingly.
Yep. Now, you, the Giants really got that hot streak, kind of like how Seattle's looking right now. Seattle was fighting for a wild card and then completely took over the one seed.
Yeah, so you're with me on the first one. You think New England's going to win, but you like Indy covering 6.5?
Yeah, I'd even tease Indianapolis to like a plus 16, plus 17 if you can get it.
Oh, yeah.
With the over or something like that.
I think that's the number you got to tease them with. And if you wanted, you could take New England straight up even, or you just take them Indy both ways. I tell you what I like in this. I think Seattle, I love Aaron Rodgers. But yeah. I just think Seattle's got too much beast mode and too much defense and too much twelfth man for Green Bay there. Now here's an advantage a lot of people aren't talking about. It's a 3:05 start, right? On the West Coast. That's 12 o'clock for Seattle. They're not used to playing games that early.
It's the earliest kickoff in franchise history.
So maybe that creates a problem. You know, for them, maybe their bodies aren't woke up. Now, hopefully, what they've probably done is they probably put them to bed earlier all week long. You know what I'm saying? And had them get used to getting up earlier and eating breakfast maybe around when they would normally eat a breakfast at, say, 7 or 8. They're eating at 6, 5 or 6 or something.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. The weather is not good. It's going to be nasty. 80% chance of light rain. I think the entire country is in light rain right now. I'm going to take I love how much I love Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that he's going to create some problems for the Green Bay defense. They don't normally see. But I'm gonna tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna take Green Bay plus the 8, and I'm gonna take Seattle. I'm gonna take Green Bay plus the 8, but I'm gonna take Seattle to win the game. I think it's also gonna be a 3 or 4 point game. I just think Aaron Rodgers has too many he's got too many weapons for everybody to cover everybody. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that those guys. I mean, you look at his receivers and even his tight ends, and he's got Eddie Lacy, who's maybe 80-90% because he's tweaked up a little bit. But they got Starks too. They should be able to hang with them. I'm going to go with
If Green Bay is going to be in this game today, Eddie Lacy is going to have to play a major role. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is going to be Aaron Rodgers, but Eddie Lacy has to be a big part of this game.
All right, buddy. Hey, you know what
Seattle's
I'm doing.
Going to have both.
All right, buddy. Hey, it's great hearing from you. I'll see you soon. It's Roy Edwards with SportsManCave.com. We'll see you next week on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.